96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
You have your hurt for the city, for the people, for the families that's been wronged. But then you see the anger in a lot of black men and women. And then you see the unity of, you know, everyone coming together and the joy and just celebrating life.
That's just one of the voices on the street in Baltimore during yesterday's protest. I was on the ground covering the issue in Baltimore with dozens and dozens of other reporters from all over the country, indeed from all over the world. All of us looking for angles and information. But this crisis in Baltimore is a very difficult story to cover because it's happening all over the city and involving community activists, local and state officials, and regular people. So how can we be accurate when there are so many moving parts to this story? Well, joining me to talk about this is Dr. Peggy Lewis, Director of Media Studies and Associate Dean of Graduate Programs at Trinity Washington University. We were going to have a reporter from Baltimore, Charles Robinson, but he's covering the protest, no doubt, at City Hall, happening right now. Hopefully we will hear from him later on in the program, but we would like to hear from you if you have a question or a comment about the coverage of this crisis in Baltimore. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Peggy, so good to see you again. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let me ask you. I'm sure, you know, certainly it's your job, but news junkie like you are, what is the thing that you found most interesting or fascinating about the coverage of this event, for lack or issue?
I think that one of the things that really concerns me in the coverage that I've seen is the lack of understanding about what this story is about. Certainly everybody's looking at it, who's come to the scene yesterday and today, was looking at the fire and the destruction of property. And many of the reporters, you could tell they've never covered a riot. They were so frightened. They even said things like, where are the police? We got to stick close to the police line. Oh, my God, I don't know what's going on. These people, you know, and we heard terminology like about thugs. We heard different kinds of coverage that showed the bias of media, where we were not getting objective reporting on anyone trying to look at both sides of the story or trying to see some of the details or the history of the story, but looking at the destruction of property. I think that Baltimore has certainly served up a lot of lessons this week, not the least of which is the fact that the news media ignore the problems that plague the inner city until there is violence, until there are fires. And so if more attention, as you know, Harold, was given to the levels of poverty and wealth disparity and housing policies and high rates of unemployment, mass incarceration, all these issues that are coming out now, if there was more attention paid by the media to those issues before there is a riot, then I think that we would see a different kind of scenario as people respond to what has been a war on black men.
Is there a problem, though, with the way this has been covered? Because we always hear during, and I'm sure we're going to hear this afterwards, what I call the why y'all always covering this? Why y'all always doing that? You know, that's the kind of thing that we often hear from laymen who don't really understand it. How would you explain that to someone who's asking, why are we covering this? Why are you always covering things negative? Councilmember Jack Young, the chair of the Baltimore City Council, even said, why are you never cover anything positive. You only cover something negative. And to be quite honest, a lot of people gave him the side eye about that.
Well, you know, media does cover events that happen. If there's a riot, that is certainly a news event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it bleeds, it leads in many of the news organizations. But I don't think it's that. I think people have done, like Baltimore did a good job. The Baltimore Sun did a very good job of covering the corruption and police brutality cases in a series that they did on the police department. So people have covered some of these issues. But it doesn't come out into a national conversation until there is violence. Too often there is not enough about we're not even seeing a lot of stories about the underlying issues of poverty, of housing discrimination. And the high rate of unemployment and the disparity between what happens when the kind of statistics in Baltimore of how many people are in prison, how many people are disenfranchised, how many people are living in poverty, how many people are unemployed. Those kinds of issues are not covered in a way that is constant.
Mm-hmm.
And we're only talking about it when something like this happens.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Of course, we're talking about Baltimore City in crisis and how to cover this story from a reporter's perspective when there are so many moving targets. Terry, calling from Northeast D.C., thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Terry, go ahead.
I'm calling because, yes, this is Terry. Your speaker brought up some very interesting points about the policies and the level of incarceration of the black men. My question is, when these type of things happen, the media seem to sensationalize or make the riots larger than they are. Even the black media, I have pepper spray in my face. It almost sensationalizes it, creating a atmosphere of danger more than it is. So why does the news station send our black men there to report, and they sensationalize the riots more than it actually is?
Peggy, you want to try to answer that? I have my own thoughts about that, but go right ahead.
Well, I think you make a good point when you say that, you know, there's a sensationalism and that the reporters are talking about their... I don't like it when the reporters are talking about their personal experience in a riot, because they're there to talk about the riot. They're there to talk about what's happening in that community. Excuse me. So when they talk about and say, I've got pepper sprayed, well, you know what? It's not about you. It is about the story you're there to tell. And I find with experienced reporters, and I saw people, you know, experienced African-American reporters who I thought did a fine job. You know, Ron with ABC News and some others who are still on the ground who I think understand the context of the story, but not necessarily take it and talk about themselves personally, what's happening to them. They're a vessel to tell the story. They're conduits. They're not. I saw too many of them saying, it's frightening out here. Well, it's frightening to you. But that makes it sound like the caller was saying it's sensationalized instead of telling us what's going on.
And I think there is a fine line also, because, yes, I think there's one thing to say that, it's frightening out here. I think there's another thing that if you are close to it, as I was yesterday, yeah, there was pepper spray. Saw it first time for me. If I saw it, I'm going to say I saw it. If I were sprayed with it, I would say I was. I was not, but I did see it. And I went ahead and described what I saw. Also, I need to talk about that black man issue also. Really, really important about black reporters going to these kinds of events. We'll talk about that on the other side. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. We'll be back in just a moment.
We're trying to alleviate anybody from doing anything to provoke the police to do anything wrong or prevent them from doing any type of lethal force out here, because there's too many innocent people out here for them to be shooting bullets or shooting rubber bullets.
That's another voice on the street from yesterday in Baltimore's protest atmosphere right there on the ground. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're asking tonight, how can we be accurate as reporters when there are so many moving parts to this story? We have now Charles Robinson, political reporter for Maryland Public Television, and we continue with Dr. Peggy Lewis, Director of Media Studies and Associate Dean of Graduate Programs at Trinity Washington University. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Charles, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. And, you know, it's very interesting to try and cover an event like this because, as you've already said, there are a lot of moving parts. And one of the things I think, you know, my many years of doing this is to try and situate myself where I know some activity is going to happen and be able to respond to things as they happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, to give you an example, you know, we didn't know stuff was going to happen in and around the Mondawmin Shopping Center. But I think the thing that caught most of us off guard was that the crowd was going to move towards Penn and North. You know, you don't expect that in these kind of environments. And then of also, you got to get rid of what I call the innuendo and the facts.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, to give you an example, I want to go back to Monday when the funeral was going on for Freddie Gray at Shiloh Baptist Church to give your audience kind of an idea of the proximity of all these facilities, if you will. Shiloh is on a street called Monroe Street, which is less than 3 blocks away from Douglas High School.
Right.
Douglas High School is just across the street from Mondawmin Mall. Penn and North is less than a half a mile from all of that. So we're talking a very concentrated area.
Yeah. Let me go. I want to go back to the phone lines real quick. Mike calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, Mike. What's on your mind?
Good evening. Yes, I appreciate the perspectives I've been hearing. But when covering an event like this, we have to understand the difference between riot and protest. Riots represent repressed anger. So riots tend to lack direction or appear to be misguided. You know, the youth have repressed anger due to, you know, lack of job infrastructure. They have brothers and cousins behind the wall in prison doing 20, 30 years. So flipping police cars, you know, that's therapeutic to a lot of youth in Baltimore. With that being said, a lot of youth in D.C. and other impoverished cities, they agree with the actions that they saw the youth doing. And that's a clear sign that the experience has meaning. There's meaning in the actions that we saw being taken place in Baltimore.
I think that's kind of interesting because to me it seems like there's a really fine line between, spirited protests, which you can have sit-ins and eat-ins and hunger strikes, and obviously those are very low-key. But when you have spirited protests, at what point does it move over to, you know, a riot? He was talking about flipping over police cars and setting them on fire. I don't know whether or not you would call that a protest. That, you know, that, especially when you start setting cars on fire that are not official cars, that are your neighbor's cars. Certainly that issue up for debate. And we're going to continue this conversation on the other side. So if you are on the line, Eric, Donna, Kenya, please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. The Quiet Storm is next with Jeff Brown on 96.3 WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds on Sirius XM, Channel 141.